Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Sanhedrin Daf Gimel. We are five lines off the top of the Amud Ihochi Tarti Ketani. Let's just go back for a split second and refresh ourselves. We had a point to make on the first line of the Mishnah. We begin with Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, which sounds like the concept of having three Dayanim present at a Dinei Mamonos, at a monetary dispute litigation. That refers to, that covers all types of Dinei Mamonos. But then the Mishnah continues to specify, right? Gzeilois V'Chavolois B'Shloisha, which almost sounds like a repetition. So Rav Yavo tells us, actually, it's not a repetition. It is just explaining, it's elaborating, that this halacha, that Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, is not all-encompassing. It doesn't cover every monetary dispute. It's just an opening statement. Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha, which ones in specific? Specifically, Gzeilois V'Chavolois, those issues, robbing, personal damages, right? So these things require three dayanim. And Rabbi Avoh explained to us that, truthfully, even ordinary monetary issues like hoidois v'halvois, any disagreements stemming from loans, or admitting having taken a loan, etc., these types of disagreements also require three dayanim. Difference is that, in contrast to gzeilos v'chavolos, which require three dayanim mumchim, experts with smicha, right, formal dayanim. Other more basic dinei mamonos like hoidois v'halvois do not require dayanim mumchim. They need three dayanim, but not dayanim mumchim, even ordinary dayanim. And the reason was, you know what? We want to make it easier. We want to encourage people to lend money, rather than making it cumbersome, having them, being discouraged from getting involved in loaning money, lest they get pulled into some sort of convoluted, dintera system, which involves, dayanim mumchim, makes it more complicated and, drawn out. So to facilitate loans and chasodim, we make it easier, for you. If there's any issue, you're going to go to just three dayanim, regular dayanim, and resolve your matters. That will encourage people to lend money more easily. That was Rabbi Avoh's approach. So again, according to him, the Mishnah reads like this: Dinei Mamonos B'Shloisha. That's sort of an opening statement. Okay, but which Dinei Mamonos require three dayanim? Only Gzeilos V'Chavolos. Asks the Gemara, but if that's the way to read the Mishnah, Ihachi, on the fifth line, Ihachi Tartik Tani. If all Dinei Mamonos require three Dayanim, just not Dayanim Mumchim, so why can't you just learn the Mishnah as though it's splitting it into two? It's stating two halachas. Number one, Dinei Mamonos, ordinary Dinei Mamonos, B'Shloisha, ordinary Dayanim, and then Gzeilos V'Chavolos. We lift the standards. You need three Dayanim Mumchim. Why can't you just learn like Mishnah like that, more simple? Yochi Tartik Tani. Dinei Mamonos, B'Shloisha Hedyoitos, right? Hoidos V'Halvois, three Hedyoitos. Gzeilos V'Chavolos, B'Shloisha Mumchim. Void another question. If it's all one and the same statement, according to Rabbi Yavol, void Shloisha, and then again Shloisha, right? The Mishnah says, Dinei Mamonos V'Shloisha, and then Gzeilos V'Chavolos, again B'Shloisha. Lomeli, what's the point of repeating B'Shloisha, Shloisha twice? Elamar Rava, let me tell you how I understand the Mishnah. Tartik Tani, you're right. As you have proposed, that's how I learned the Mishnah. There are two separate sort of statements there. Dinei Mamonos refers to Hoidois V'Halvois, B'Shloisha, ordinary Dayanim. And then Gzeilos V'Chavolos, B'Shloisha, advanced Dayanim. Now, why do Hoidois V'Halvois suffice with basic Dayanim? Mishum de Rabbi Chanina, as we learned yesterday, K'deilo Shiloitino, Delos B'Shnei Loivin, we don't want borrowers to have a hard time, a difficult time obtaining loans. Okay, so this is the approach in interpreting the Mishnah. Now comes another approach. So according to the former approach, all Dinei Mamonos require three Dayanim. Min HaTorah. we just, you know, allow ourselves to suspend the mumchen requirement when it comes to hoidos v'halvois. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yikah Amar, no, he takes a different approach. Midaraisa, you should know that min ha-Torah chad nami kosher. When it comes to halvois, it comes to hoidos, even one dayan can take it on himself. Shenamar b'tzedek tishboit am yisecha. With justice, you should judge your fellow Jew. Tishboit, you, a single person, a single dayan. And you don't really need three dayanim for these types of cases. Only by gzeilis v'chavolis, now is because the psukim of Elohim, 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 those three mentionings of dayanim, which gives us the quantity of three, is speaking about gzeilis v'chavolis. But hoidois v'halvois, you don't need three dayanim. It's only with the rabbanon that we require three. Elam shim yeshu kronis. We want to avoid running into, you know, empty people, uneducated people sitting on the street corners. So that's why we don't allow you to just use one dayan for fear that you might run into an incompetent, uneducated. That's why we require three. It's midrabbanan. Asks the Gemara, so you might end up with three uneducated dayanim. Why? What have you gained by adding numbers here? It doesn't add to the, you know, quality. Ato betlasam ilo yhavu yeshik kronos, because you require three. Does that preempt any concern of, you know, uneducated, you know, uncultured people? Well, says the Gemara, it's very unlikely. Once you have three, yafshar, it's impossible. It's very, very, very probable. Les buchad, the Gemara, there won't be even one uneducated. Basically, we assume, you know, power of numbers. You have three people, you assume, you hope, one of them will be a little bit more, you know, on a level. Asks the Gemara, El mi ata tolo yisham. If that's the case, that even min ha-Torah, you know, one or certainly three ordinary dayanim are okay to litigate these matters. Suppose they make a mistake, toh. So we learned yesterday, based on Gemara in a different parak in Nafalim et Gimel, that unless you're an expert, you're mumcha, right? If you make a mistake, you have to compensate, you have to pay up for your mistakes. Well, if they're authorized, if they're allowed to take on these cases, so if they make a mistake, they're not responsible. Toilo yishamu. Answer, koshkin den afishia shikronis. Because if we allow that to happen, if we give them a pass, even when they make mistakes, people will, in general, will be discouraged from getting an education. Look, we can be dayanim the way we are. Full-fledged dayanim. Litigate matters. Have full authority to do so. We have, you know, dayan immunity, diplomatic immunity if we make a mistake, right? So there won't be any incentive to go higher, to really study dayanus and chayshe mishpat. And in order to encourage true dayan, the development of true dayan, we say, look, sure, even an ordinary person can litigate, you know, these simple matters, but be careful. You make a mistake, you're going to have to pay. Okay, so basically we have two approaches to the idea of Dini Mamunas B'Shloish, according to the former approach, which is Rava's approach. Min ha-Torah, three dayanim are required. It's just that Midrabbanan, they don't have to be experts, according to the more recent approach of Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yikah. When a Torah one dayan is enough, we upped it to three. Now, what's the difference? My ikah bein Rav or Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yikah. I mean, at the end of the day, we need three. Any difference between these two approaches? Yeah, difference is after the fact. Let's say the matter was litigated by less than three dayanim. Ikah bein damar Shmuel. Shmuel says shnayim shedonu. If two dayanim sat down and made a din Torah, dinayin din, it works. El shenikru bezn chotzev. They're not regarded as the most respected bezin chotzav, a brazen bezin, two dayanim. Who do you think you are? But at the end of the day, we accept their judgment. So that will be the nafkamina. The Rav, according to Rav, who says when a Torah three are required, if you have less than three, it's a non-starter. Less like the Shmuel, he disagrees with Shmuel that it works. But the Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yikah is like the Shmuel. He accepts Shmuel's halacha, even two dayanim. The end of the day works because when a Torah, even one is enough. Okay, the Mishnah continues. What else requires three dayanim? Nezek, v'chatzi nezek, right? If the animal caused some property damage, loss of value, or if he's a tame animal, then we give you that 50% discount, chatzi nezek. Why enumerate these cases? they've already been discussed. We already discussed chavolos. Chavolos means personal damages. If you hurt somebody, we learned this back in Baba Kama, about five consequences, five liabilities. Nezek, right? Loss of value. Tsar, pain, ripoy, medical bills, etc., etc. So within chavolos, we cover the concept of loss of value as well. It's one of the components included in chavolos. So why repeat again, nezek v'chatzi nezek? Nezek, kind of chavolos. The answer is mishum de kaboy lemis nechatzi nezek. Since we want to get involved in chatzi nezek, which involves a tame animal, so nezek and chatzi nezek are sort of, you know, comrades. Tani nami nezek shalem. So we sort of put it together, full nezek and chatzi nezek, even though it's not really necessary. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? So what's the point of mentioning chatzi nezek? Nami hanu chavolos. That's also included in chavolos. After all, it's loss of value. Answer is, it's a different type of liability. Tana Mamayna, first we discussed chavolos, where one of its elements is nezek, actual damages, actual loss of value which you are compensating for, uktani knasa. Chatzi nezek, however, is really a fine, a penalty. As we learned back in Baba Kama, because he's a tame animal, you know, the owner didn't, it caught him by surprise. He didn't expect his animal to go on a rampage. So really, he's not really responsible for his damage. It's just a knas. So this way you're careful in the future, right? So it's a different type of payment. And that's why the Mishnah added it to the list. Well, says the Gemara, that's if you take on that approach. Discussed back in Baba Kama, that it's really only a knas. That's if you take the approach that half the nezek that the Yishar Tam pays is a knas, so it's a different category. If you take the other approach based on the Gemara Baba Kama, then in reality, every animal is prone to going on a rampage and damaging. And you should have been careful, but listen, it's his first, second time, we give you a discount. So it's really a discount, a different approach. According to one approach, you go from zero. You're not really owing anything, but we bump it up to 50% at knas. The other approach goes the other way. You start with 100%. That's your real liability, your real responsibility. But we bump it down. We reduce it to 50%. So according to that approach, you're paying for losses that you owe. So really, it's just another form of compensating for real loss. Michael Amemer, so why repeat it? Answer is the Gemara, you know why? Because it's paired up with the next cases. Since the Mishnah wanted to refer to the double payment that Eganav pays, the Arba V'Chamisha quadruple, five times. So these are unique in a sense that these numbers don't really reflect actual loss, the original amount. It's doubled, it's quadrupled, right? The Mamon, it's payment, She'enoi Mishtalim B'Roish. Reish, says Rashi, is Keren, the original principle. It's not really corresponding to the original principle. It's multiplied, it's added, right? So it's not really reflective of the original principle amount. Sheinim Shtam Bereishu. That's a unique type of liability. So on account of that, Tonanami Chatzi Nezek. We also mentioned Chatzi Nezek, which is ironically also not really reflective of the original amount. It's only 50%. The moment Shein Mishtal Bereishu, so it goes together. V'ayin the Kabayil Misni Chatzi Nezek. And once we get involved in Chatzi Nezek, Kabayil Misni Chatzi Nezek, Taninami Nezek, so full Nezek of an animal also comes along, because as we said, Nezek and Chatzi Nezek are sort of comrades. They go together as a pair. Now let's go back to the basic halacha, Shloisha Minon. How do we know that there are three Dayanim? At a din Torah, at a basic dini mamonos, the Tana Rabbanon. We have the psukim by the shomrim, right? You gave an item to be watched, and the shomer denies having it, or claims to have given it back to you. And there's a whole back and forth. The pasuk describes the next step as v'nikrav balabayis elolihim. You let us say it out, because it's not a reference to Hashem, it's a reference to Dayanim. I mean, they represent the Shechina, but so elohim, in this case, is a dayan. You take, your opponent to the dayan, harekan echatz, that's one dayan. Then it says, ada elohim yovid varshneyem, that's the second dayan, harekan shnayim. And then thirdly, asher yashin elohim, another mention of elohim, harekan shloisha, it gives you number three, divrei Rabbi Yashia. So according to him, we have to have three psukim, one per dayan. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, you know what? Rishon tchila nemar. You can never learn from the first mention, because vein darshan tchilas. The first Elohim is the first time it's mentioned, so you can't really focus on that, because that's just coming to tell you that you need, Rashi said yesterday, Elohim is mumchim, right? A person of authority, a person of stature. So the pasuk is for that. You can't use it to learn the numbers, the quantity of the dayanim. So that pasuk is sort of not on our list. You can't refer to that pasuk. You have to start with pasuk number two. Ella, rather, ad Elohim yaved v'ashnei American echad, that gives you one. And the final pasuk, the third pasuk, which is really the second on our count right now, Asher Yashin Elohim, gives you the second dayan, Harekan Shnayim. So you have two. But as we learned yesterday, you can never have a potentially deadlocked bezdin. You can't have an even number. You have to have an odd number so that you can rule based on the majority opinion. Ve'ein bezdin shakul, therefore you add a third dayan for a total of three, Harekan Shloisha. So according to Rabbi Yashi, we have three psukim, three Elohims, three dayanim. According to Rabbi Yonison, the first one cannot be used for this purpose. So what's the machleik is about? Name of bedoshin tchilas kamitzlik. Perhaps the machleik is whether or not we can expand on the first mentioning of a concept and add it to the list. The Maris of Rabbi Yashi holds, yeah, you could add it to the list. Doshin tchilas, even though it's the first reference, you can still use it as as part of the number count. Maris of and doshin tchilas, whereas Rabbi Yonison disagrees. Loi, it doesn't have to be revolving around this question. The Kuliyama perhaps all agree that generally ain doshin tchilas, you cannot consider the first mention of Elohim as part of the number. Amalek Rabbi Yashi. But still, Rabbi Yashi will say like this. I can still use it. You know why? Because Im Kain, if it's only to teach you, you need a mumcha, you need an expert, and not coming to teach you the quantity of Dayanim, name a krav and nikrav alayis ala shayf. The pasuk should have simply said, the alayis takes the shaymer to the judge. Then you know, the expert judge. My Elohim. Why this extra lashon? Shmamina, apparently, it's a loaded word. It's something more than just an expert judge. It's coming to give you the number of judges. Luminyana, that he's number one of three. For Rabbi Yonison responds, true, the Pasuk is using, unusual language, but Lishna da'almanaka, the Pasuk simply adopted, the common form of speech, the way people speak. Kadam inshias, people say, man di isle dina, person has an issue, a din, likrib l'gabi dayana, you go to the dayan, and they refer to him as a lehim. So it's not really, going to teach us more than that. And therefore cannot be used as number one, as the first dayan. Rather, you have to go to the next pasuk for first dayan, and the third pasuk for second dayan, which gives you two. How do you get three? Because ain bezdin shakel. You have to have a potential for a majority ruling. And Rabbi Yashi apparently didn't hold to that. The fact is he needed three psukim to teach you three dayanim. Rabbi Yashi lesle bezdin noite, went to Rabbi Yashi. This idea of having a sort of a lopsided bezdin, a majority view bezdin, an uneven number which presents a potential for a majority view, is not required. Tanya, you have a brisa. We learn it from our pasuk. Rabbi Lazar ben Shabbos said, "Lili Yomer, Matam Aloyim of Lintois, Achurabim Lahatois." The pasuk repeats twice this idea of tilting, of tipping the scale, which means to say an odd number in the bezdin, Lintois, then again Achurabim Lahatois. Torah is teaching us that a bezdin has to be composed, has to be comprised of elements that allow it to be tipped, meaning an uneven number. HaTeira Amra Aseilach HaBezdin. Create the bezdin noite, which can be tipped, meaning it has to contain an uneven number. Sakhar Rabbi Asher disagrees based on a pasuk. The answer is, so like Rabbi Yehuda. He was like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amr who told us in the Mishnah regarding the grand bezdin, Shivim. It's only 70, not 71. Apparently, even an even number works. And he learns it from a pasuk. This none as we went in the Mishnah, back on the Beis HaMelech, Sanhedrin Gedolah, the grand Sanhedrin sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'yisah Sheshivim Be'echa is comprised of 71 Dayanim, that's the Tanakam, an odd number. Rabbi Yehuda says, even an even number is fine. Rabbi Yehuda is Shivim, it's only 70. And Rabbi Yashi adopts Rabbi Yehuda's view. And that's why when it comes to an ordinary Bezdin, you don't really need three. Two would theoretically be enough, if not for the Pasuk listing them three times. Eim of the Shamas Le Rabbi Yehuda, Be Sanhedrin Gedolah. Whoa, one second, how could you compare it? Rabbi is speaking about the Grand Supreme Court in the Beis Hamikdash. Tichsivi Kroy v'apsukim to indicate that it's only 70. Bishar Beitina Mishamaslei. Where do you see that Rabbi Yehuda applies the same idea of allowing an even number by other types of smaller scale courts? V'chatem Lishna. Perhaps you won't differentiate. There's no difference. But Tanan, look, Rabbi Yehuda himself differentiates. By an ordinary bezin, he requires an odd number. Look at Rabbi Yehuda. But Tanan, smicha zakenim varifas egla b'shloisha. when the Dayanim come and they prepare the par helam davar shel tzibur, they lean on the head of the carbon, which is brought on account of a grave sin committed by Klal Yisrael, Barivas Egla, when a victim was found on the road, close to the city brings a calf, chop off its head, and who's involved? V'shleisha, three Dayanim. Dibre Abshim, Rabbi Da'imir B'chamisha, you need five. Why? Raminan. The question was posed, my time at Rabbi Da, where does Rabbi Da get the number five? Because the pasuk reads like this. I'll just read the pasuk first. V'samchu zikni ha'eda es yedeim al resha parath ne'ashem v'shachat as ha'parath ne'ashem. So we learn from this pasuk, v'samchu shnayim, v'lashen rabim, plural, two dayanim, so you get two. And then we have ziknei, another plural mentioning, shnayim, that's four, but you don't stop there because you cannot have an even number. Rabbi Da speaking, v'ein bezen shog, you can't have a hung bezen. Moisim ha'le yedechot. And therefore we're compelled to add another dayan for number five. Harekan, hey, that gets us to five. That's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to other types of batei dinim, odd numbers are required. How could Rabbi Yashu apply Rabbi Yehuda's concept to an ordinary bezin? Answers the Gemara, because Rabbi Yashu adivim the Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. Rabbi Yashu takes it a step further than Rabbi Yehuda. The Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's limited to a Sanhedrin Doilo, the less lay. Only by the grand bezin does he not considered and does not require an odd number. 70 is the correct count. However, Shar Bedina, but by the other types of courts, Islay, he requires an odd number. But Rabbi Yashi takes it a step further. Bashar Bedina, Nami Leslay, ordinary Bate Dinim don't either require odd numbers. So there's no premise to have an odd number by a Dine Mominus Bezdin. You can technically have two, if not for the Pasuk teaching us three. Asks the Gemara, "Velo mahay lintais my avad le?" But we had that pasuk, remember? Lintais acharam lahatais, which indicates odd numbers. Mukum lo b'din nafashis. According to Rabbi Yashi, we would connect it only to, larger bezin, the bezin of 23 dayanim, which litigate dini nafashis, capital issues. Avu b'din imamnis loy. But when it comes to monetary disputes, monetary dinim, that wouldn't be required. Asks the Gemara. Okay, so if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Yashi, theoretically, we do not need an odd number bezin for Dine Mominus. So the Gemara at this point figures, if so, perhaps a majority view wouldn't either suffice. This idea of tipping the scale based on the majority and all that, that doesn't apply to Dine Mominus. So perhaps the only way to get a proper ruling, a verdict for Dini Mominus, is by unanimity. Having the entire Bezin unanimously vote in one direction. Adopt a single view. If you have any sort of dispute, perhaps you can't proceed. Right? Again, if the idea is that you have a Bezin with an odd number of Dayanim, which facilitates, which enables lintois, tipping scales, majority view, right? Getting an odd number, getting a sort of a lopsided type of result, then apparently a majority view is enough. But if we work with an even number, which can be unanimous, one way or the other, perhaps you require it to be unanimous. You can't work with a rabbin, you can't work with a majority. Perhaps the entire business as one has to adopt a singular view. Elo desnas. What about the Mishnah, which says that even in terms of Dine Mominus, majority view counts. Shnayim Imrim Zakai, two Dayanim out of the three. Consider him innocent. Absolve him. Ve'achad Imrim Chayiv, only one Dayan says he's guilty. Or the other way around. So what's the Halacha Zakai? That's it, he's off the hook. We follow the majority. Or the other way around, Shnayim Imrim Chayiv, two say he's Chayiv. Ve'achad Imrim Zakai, one says he's Pater. Chayiv, he's Chayiv. Name it Lojah of Yashia, this Mishnah, which applies majority rule to a bezin of dinin of mominus, is not going like Rabbi Yashu, who perhaps requires the entire bezin to speak as one. No, says the Gemara, afilu tam Rabbi Yashu. You know what? At the end of the day, even Rabbi Yashu disagrees that a majority view determines even by dinin of mominus. You know why? Maisila b'kavachayim b'dinin of fashis. He's going to learn it. Draw it from dinin of fashis, which we already established before. Works with his system. Look, umad dinin of fashis achamiri. Certainly, capital issues which are more severe and serious. Amar Achmana Zilba Saruba, still the Torah says, you don't need a full, unanimous, all-encompassing decision. Rav is enough. The majority view of the Bezin determines the matter. Certainly when it comes to more simple dinei mamonis, Lekloshkin, of course, majority of you carries a day. So at the end of the day, all agree that a dinei mamonis bezin has to have three dayanim. The question is it because of three alehims or because of two alehims with ein bezin shakel? And all agree that majority of you applies to both context, dinei mamonis and dinei nefashis. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, furthermore on this topic, dinei mamonis b'shloisha. Monetary disputes are conducted by three dayanim. Rabbi Eimer, you need five b'chamisha. Why? Kadesh yigamar din b'shloisha, so that the verdict is issued by three dayanim, which are a majority of the five. So when he learns that dinei mamonis b'shloisha means the verdict has to be the final verdict after, you know, deliberations, the final verdict, which is, let's say, the majority view, has to be reflective of three dayanim. They have to be the ones issuing that verdict to bring about a resolution on dinei mamonis. Asks the Gemara why. Suppose you start with only three dayanim. You'll still conclude with majority view of two dayanim. Why? What's the problem? He meant to say like this. Because you have to conclude with three. Amakasar, apparently he holds, Tlosa Kiksivi, when the Torah requires three dayanim, the final ruling has to be reflective of three dayanim. It has to be representative of the three dayanim's perspective. Kiksivi, Tlosa Kik, Amakasar, Tlosa Kiksivi, Bigmardin Kiksivi. Megadif for Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo negated this way of thinking, this opinion. Elamiyatov, that's the case. That a verdict, a final verdict, not the deliberation, the verdict has to be issued by the said number of dayanim. So by dinei mamonis it's three, and by, let's take it up a step, by dinei nefashos, so the verdict has to be issued by 23 dayanim. So basically you have to start off with 45. Or a Sanhedrin gedolah, which has to conclude with 71 dayanim, on the verdict. So you have to start off with how many? More than double. 141. Right? El mi'ata. Te Sanhedrin gedol tzricha me'er v'abar me'echot. You mean a grand Sanhedrin. 70 is not enough. 71 is not enough. You have to have 141. What's the majority of 141? 71. So the conclusion. Kadei she'yigomer adin m'shim v'echot. So the conclusion should be issued by 71. With Te Sanhedrin gedolah and the middle Sanhedrin of the 23... Can't start with 23. You have to start with 45 and conclude with 23 on this, you know, on this opinion. Tzricha arba mechamisha. Start off with 45. Kadesh shiyigamar din mishloisha ve'esim, so that you can conclude with 23 in favor or not, right? So he disagrees. He says that's inconceivable. Ella rather isfali shivim isha marachmana. When the Torah requires 70, it means mishasa sifa shivim. Sit down with 70. You deliberate with 70 or 71. You deliberate with 23. You deliberate with 3. Right? V'shavto eda v'tzilo eda. The middle bezin. The 23 dayan bezin. There are two. Nami. Mishash shvita se'eda. The 23 count is during deliberations. Conclusion? Majority of that number is enough. Hachanami here as well. By a 3 dayan of dinei mamonis, we don't mean that the verdict must reflect the mindset of 3 dayanim. When you approach the dayanim, they're three. But as long as two out of three agree, there you go. That sort of covers everybody. You see, at the end of the day, the Rishonim explained that when you have a bezin and you have the majority view, which determines the matter, what happens now to the rest of the dayanim? They're bata baroi. It's like a drop of milk got mixed into a pot of meat. It's bata baroi. It assumes the identity of the rave. So it's not like, you know, only 12 dayanim out of 23 issued the verdict. No, now it relates to all of them. Now they all identify with this verdict, the majority view. There are no dissenters. Dissenters are only during deliberation process. Once you get to the conclusion, it's the entire bezin as one ruling accordingly. So basically, all you need to do is start off with three. And as long as you have the majority, two out of three going this way, and that's how you pass, and that becomes the psak bezin. Ella hanitami the Rebbe, so let's go back. Why does Rebbe require five? Arshei arshin alehim tre. He focuses on the wording of the psukim. It says arshei arshin alehim, the two dayan alehim lashon ram tre. And we have nemar alehim lamata, V'nemar Elohim Lamal, we have the word Elohim over here. And then we have back earlier, Ad Elohim. So we compare, just like Asher Shin Elohim, these Dayanim, who are going to consider him guilty, right? It's a reference to two Dayanim, it's a Lashon Rab, Malamato Shnaim, Aflamato Shnaim. Likewise, the word Elohim back earlier on the Pesukim is going on two people. So you have four Dayanim, Vein Bezin Shachel, you can't leave it even. You have one more, can Chamisha give this, that gives us five Dayanim. So according to Rebbe, Yarshi'un is Lashon Rabim, because that's how it's read, even though it's not spelled with a Vav before the Nun, but we read it. It's about how it's read. Read it as Yarshi'un. V'Rabbonim, according to Rabbonim, Yarshi'an Ksiv, look how it's spelled without the Vav. Yarshi'an, he is going to consider him guilty. It's one Dayan. If that's the case, you have no Raya to more than one Dayan here. And you can't develop the drasha to results in five dayanim. Okay, so we started with three dayanim. We ended three dayanim. Only thing is, there was a difference of opinion whether three dayanim in dine mamnis of hedoras falvois are minat Torah. That's according to one opinion, or it's only midrabbanan because minat Torah one dayan is enough. And we went into the different cases of the Mishnah, explained why each one is necessary to be mentioned, and we went to the source of shleisha dayanim. Because it mentions Elikim three times, that's one opinion, or twice, and plus the fact that it can't be a lopsided, it can't be an even bezin. We went to that discussion. And then we have Rebbe's Shita, the Dini Mamnes of Bechamisha, based on Asher Ashiyun Elohim. All the best to you, and Atzlach Orah.